Hi, you're listening to Spooks, Creeps, and Assorted Devery. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Hey, creeps, I'm Laura, and with me tonight I have my newly shaved, not shaved, cut beard.
Trimmed-ish.
Freshly trimmed.
Respectably looking.
Yeah.
And he looks like 100, no, he looks like 50 pounds thinner.
That's funny how that works.
It looks really good.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now let's talk about Kate. Yeah, hi. Rick's here. We have Mothboy Kate with us.
For people who don't know, his little name
on his
screen says Kate.
Oh, really?
I
didn't even see that. See?
You don't do a lot of Zooms.
I don't. Actually, I don't do Zoom at all.
I don't blame you. I do it for work and this. So
yeah.
It's a pain in the butt.
MBM.
See what you, that's confusing though, because now we don't know if it's Michael
or Matt.
Oh,
like,
but you already said
two.
It's Matt.
I could just type it in as my like my old AOL name.
Oh, what was that?
Like, here, I'll show you.
So mine was Hot Pink Lipstick, and that's why I still have that Yahoo email.
Oh, I wondered about that.
And that's why I have my Instagram handle as that.
I don't know why. I've used Plaster Gorilla
okay.
A lot of places. I use Rick as a Dork pretty much everywhere.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It's good. It's good stuff. That's why you're here.
Oh, wow. Look at that name.
Shang Pimp 69. You missed a 420 and some.
Yeah, I know. I should have. I wasn't that clever as a kid. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm clever now, but like, I also wasn't clever as a kid.
It's like one of those. Jeffrey Wright, the comedian? Like, I wasn't clever when I was a kid. I'm still not clever or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm trying to take a picture of you here. I wanted to get your name. Mm-hmm. Hang on. Yeah, let's do a good one. Yeah, pose. Let's pose. There we go. I wanted to get that name in there. Shang Pimp 69.
I like it.
Yeah. Like somewhere I can hear Tanya hearing 69 is like, what? It's like, it's a trigger word. So welcome.
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Me. You're saying me? Oh, yes.
You.
Yeah. Yes.
Shang Pimp 69. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. Hi. This is Moth Boy Matt of the hit hit
comedy
podcast.
Yeah.
Moth Boys. You know, it's it's really a curse being this loved by
it
so
is.
Many people.
It is.
We
it's a curse.
Yeah, Laura and I both know it's something that you
it's
have
awful.
To take in stride. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Rick are the favorites of the pod. So.
And, you know, initially you feel like, oh, great. That's cool, guys. Yeah, I'll sign this. And then you reach a point. You're like, no, get away from me. I don't want any attention. Just give me your money.
I have there's so many lawyers, you know, I have lawyers just like out the door representing me. So
you look
so
at
many lawyers want to represent me. It's wild.
If you look at your monthly expenses, it's a whole bunch of retainers. It's like you have like a $50 food allowance and the rest is lawyer retainers. Yeah. Sounds about right. You guys, I feel like you would be litigious suing a lot of people.
Infringing
on your copyrights.
I'm surprised we're not.
We're the exact kind of people where we just sue people just to just so people know. You know who's on top here. You know what I mean? Just it's
business.
A power move.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it gets your name in the headlines, and any you know any of that is good. What's the phrase? I'm so out of my mind.
Like
so am I. Good.
We're both
good publicity.
Publicity. Any
Moth
publicity.
Boys. Yeah, the last lawsuit we went through was we sued a 9-year-old girl for saying the word moth, and guess what? We ruined her. We took everything she had.
Yeah.
All her Pokemon cards.
It was all her Pokemon cards and Barbies. And
well, yeah, because she didn't just set needs up her to LLC. Understand.
Reality is hard. You know what I mean? Yep. So
you're like, it's like all the DMCA takedowns in the early 2000s for like Napster and all that. You're kicking in doors and you're assaulting children. Yeah. And I applaud you for it.
Rick's a little jealous.
Just like Metallica. Remember Metallica sued Napster?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. Yep. And that was about the last time Metallica was really relevant.
Yeah. Ooh. I was a LimeWire guy. I loved LimeWire. Yeah.
Me too.
But I used Kazaa.
Oh, Kazaa. Yeah. I used to I remember one song I downloaded, and it was because I tried to find different copies of it without this intro, but it was a killer song.
Good band.
It's 2003.
Yeah, and it was like the intro would have the radio station be like, "Can you rock?" And then it was like, but yeah, it was when we were young, or when you were young.
Song. When we were
that's
young.
That's a great song. Yeah. Yeah.
When you what was it?
Yeah.
Is that off we Hot Fuzz?
The Killers is great. The Killers are just like
they still rock. I like them.
Their that album Imploding the Mirage is so freaking good. It's like
when you were like young.
It's like a cool like
if that was Bruce... on the Sam's Town record.
What is it, Bling, Confessions of a King off that album, and Uncle Johnny off that.
Oh, they're yeah,
both solid songs. Yeah, I was just about to look up what album
I like. Day and Age.
Yeah,
I think that's one of my favorite ones.
That album Imploding the Mirage sounds like if Bruce Springsteen did nothing but
Rick
like
does
synth
not like
stuff.
Bruce, right? Yeah.
Wait, sorry. I respect
Bruce Springsteen. And I like Streets of Philadelphia.
Do you know they call him the boss for a reason? Or don't you I think I got documents to sort or something. Yeah.
Lawyers to talk to.
I'm sorry.
I have so many lawyers to talk to.
Should I expect a summons tomorrow?
I'd like to sue you. For defamation of the boss.
I didn't even say a negative word about Mr. Springsteen, and here I am already being sued for it. But you know what? I think it's overrated.
Suits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like him.
No, go ahead. The USA is all right. Please. If you want to sue me, that'd be pretty cool publicity for both of us. Let's do it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mothman like Matt, sue Spooks Creeps Rick.
See, I would do that, and we could have like a whole fake trial. That would be awesome, and we could get fake. I mean, I have real lawyers, like I said, but you can go fake.
We can't borrow some of yours.
I've got like 30 of them.
You don't need them. You could field an entire baseball team for that.
Are y'all fan of like Tim Heidecker?
Yes.
Okay. So he did this like
it's Tim and Eric Awesome Show. Great job.
Oh. Yeah. He did this whole like I think it was like a trial, like he murdered someone with his car, and he did a whole fake trial, and it was like 8 hours long.
Oh my god.
And it was like in a legit trial, but it was like I don't know. It was just genius. It was the greatest.
Was that during the lockdown or something? So he had nothing
to
do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah, it was. That makes sense. It was good.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get some publicity.
Yeah,
we need it. I'll take the negative.
Or start a fight at Monster Fest because we will both be there.
Oh yeah,
we got to do it at like 5:50.
Yeah, and like you can, Matt, go ahead and throw Rick into like the table and knock down all the merch.
You want to know something funny? I used to do that. I was in a wrestling themed band, hardcore band. I was in a wrestling themed like
what did
hardcore
you play?
Power violence vocalist because I'm not talented.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. we would like plant people in the crowd that we could wrestle during the show, and we would like saw tables and then like choke slam people nice. Through the tables. And it was a whole lot of fun. That's I got fun. Hurt a whole lot, but
yeah.
So my dream is to pretend I'm Chris Farley as Matt Foley and to just fall on a table and have it collapse. So if we,
this is perfect.
We can make that happen.
I would pay good money for that.
If somebody wants to bring like a balsa wood table that I can collapse onto or be thrown into, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I like
oh,
it.
Oh man.
Matt, can you give us a little preview of what you used to scream?
Yeah. No, I can't.
High falsetto.
This was back like directly after high school. If I tried to do it now, I stopped, so it was like
so disappointed.
I know. During high school, I was in a band called Indrid Cold when I was in ninth grade, and it was like this like post rock screamo band, and I was in it with actually Mothboy Jake.
Nice.
We were in this band called Indrid Cold, and we
what
released,
did he do? Drums.
Jake in that band played drums. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a drummer.
And he seems like a drummer. Yeah.
One of my friends. Yeah, my youngest brother played bass. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah, Jake and I have been in projects since we were kids.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't have any friends like that.
And then unfortunately, Mike, I've known my whole life. So
unfortunately.
Yeah.
I get it. I feel like we're unfortunate to have also met Mike. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get him on your show?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. He would love to come on your show, I think.
Well, we'll have him come on and trash talk you. So
yeah, I love it.
Start
that sounds
infighting.
Like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the Moth Boys podcast.
It is a comedy podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown. And we don't really cover conspiracy theories.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, we don't really do that because we've had 4 years of straight nonsense with conspiracy theories. So we just kind of dropped that, and conspiracy theories aren't even fun anymore. They just lead to, there's a lot of like conspiracy theories that will dive into like anti-Semitism and stuff, and it's just like what, like everything, and it's just it's not fun. It's not fun. And our, you know, our ding dong dude in office before we don't do it, but we can't take it out of the title because everyone knows that it's cryptids,
right?
But we'll do like Roswell cover up, which is like conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's no anti-Semitism in the Roswell cover-up, though.
No,
but if you know, that's one thing I didn't realize about the whole reptilian thing.
Is, oh, that's right. We learned about that recently.
Yeah, like
David Icke is a real piece of shit.
Yes, he is, and I've made that abundantly clear to anybody who listens. So you know, it's something that I didn't realize, and I thought, oh, this is just a stupid conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize it's seated in the hatred of the Jewish peoples.
Right.
And
oh yeah.
Like, it's just that's so much of what conspiracy theory is now.
Yeah.
It's crazy right wing stuff.
Yep. It's a bummer. It's a bummer. We've been to different types of events, and we don't so much anymore. Because I think people know our stance on it, but like, we've had people come up to us and start kind of dabbling in that. And usually we kind of, we'll push them away and tell them to shut the fuck up and leave. Yeah. And they get all pouty,
which is appropriate. Yes.
Yeah. That stuff doesn't have, does not deserve any type of soap box or any spotlight or any it just has no place in a society. Yeah.
So
like,
shut it down.
Yeah, keep it to yourself if you've got that shit, and don't talk to me about it because I'm not your guy.
We take a very similar stance.
Yes.
In our own personal lives, in our Facebook groups and all of that stuff. Like there's no room for hatred or intolerance.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No go. No bueno.
No, see, that's why I love the cryptid community. Like the Bigfoot community is different because they're pretty divided. And then the UFO community is pretty divided. Yep. But the cryptid community is just filled with really groovy, like cool ass people. And like, I
really cool
that.
People. Yeah.
And for the most part, like everyone's just kind of stoked with each other. I don't know.
It is. It is that way.
It's like we all lift each other up.
Yeah.
This is, it is a truly
started
community.
The podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To bring you wonderful people on here.
Yeah. We wanted to bring the various Moth Boys because no one's ever heard of them. We wanted to have them
get out of here. Yeah. You make me blush.
Well, yeah, it's that was part of our, like Laura said, our reason for starting this is not that we need a soapbox, but we'd like to promote those within the community that we love. Yeah. And that's everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there are going to be exceptions, but.
Wait, you love me?
Oh, of course.
The exception.
Oh.
Wait. No, listen, that's also what attracts me to your podcast is, you know, there's not enough. A lot of people make it about just like the legend and not the people involved in it. And you guys concentrate on the human element. And I see that, and that's wicked cool because all it is people. Without these people that explore this, if we didn't have them, we wouldn't really have any knowledge of these things, right? Because it's so everything, all these things are so anomalous. Yeah, it's just the human aspect is really important.
Yeah, we agree. So thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
So, yeah. Rick, what's behind you? What do you have back there?
So we have a book? There are a couple books, but one of them's old news. So we'll go with the new one.
Okay. And what's
that? For the people who aren't watching this, because we're not doing video, I have in my hands Moth Boys Present The White Monsters of Sherman, New York, illustrated by Jonathan Dodd, which I actually have read this twice now. It's so cool. And I know it's a book is one of those things where you feel like, oh, I have to have this, and this. And I like that you guys just decided to take one story, this family's experiences, get some awesome art, and just highlight one of the coolest. To me, one of the coolest cryptid sightings in America. Like I'm a huge
he's blushing
person.
I'm glad you appreciate it, because we appreciate that, and it's that story is very important to us.
Can you give us a rundown for people who haven't read it?
Yeah, absolutely.
How dare they not read?
So when we imagined what this would be, we thought about something that Gray Barker would have released like in independently, right? Like, so just like like what any old like paranormal researcher would have is just like I don't know how to describe it, but you know, it just has like an interview and then pictures of an investigation and art and just like nothing. What we wanted was we wanted John's story out there and nothing else.
Yep.
Our writing didn't matter anything. It was just his story. It was all about him and his family. But kind of a shortened version of everything is in the 60s, John Goodwill and his family who lived in Sherman, New York, which is in the western part of New York, Chautauqua County, where I grew up in Chautauqua County. It was actually the town next to me
Cool.
In the 60s, we're seeing these giant, massive ground sloths, giant ground sloths, like prehistoric white ground sloths. Mm-hmm. And so this book, this story was first published, and it was only a letter. This anonymous boy wrote to John Keel about this, these creatures that him and his family and some other folks of Sherman were seeing. And, you know, John Keel wrote him back and said, you know, I'm sorry, I can't get out and investigate. But he ended up putting it in his book, Complete Guide to Mysterious Beings. And he called them the Beast of Sherman. But John Goodwill, since he saw them, since he was a kid, always called them the White Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a late teenager, I read this and I became obsessed with it, and it got me more into cryptozoology.
Okay.
So we all just kind of sat around and just talked about the story. And then we were like, you know what? Like, let's try and find this anonymous boy. Like, let's get this kid, you know?
let's get this kid.
Let's beat him up. No. And we messaged random people in the community, went to, you know, Facebook, you know, groups and different websites, and just like found common names and messaged them until one person got a hold of us and was like, months and months. And someone got a hold of us and was like, that was my father, and he's been telling me this story since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were just so excited to hear that. He's like, I'll give you his email, you know. And then he called his dad and said, hey, some guys are looking for you.
And they had lawyers behind them. It was really weird.
They had an army of lawyers.
Briefcases, as far as the eye could see.
And you know, he got back to us, and we started having video calls with him. He sent us letters and pictures of, and just a very sweet guy. And then we brought him to Sherman to do an interview. We found out he lives in Ohio now, and he is a retired biology teacher. And that this kind of led him, that experience led him into that field.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so we brought him, we interviewed him, and his whole family came, and they were all amazing, loving people. And I think they were just there to be like, all right, you better not fucking, you know, because I'm sure, you know, he didn't really tell anyone about this. And the people he did tell, you know, kind of ridiculed him.
Oh, yeah. That's like any encounter.
And so I think they wanted to make sure that we were legit, and they saw that we had nothing that we, there was,
we weren't going to use it against him. And make
And we just wanted to get his story out and get to know him.
So that's what the book's about.
So the book is about all of the encounters that him and his family and the folks of Sherman, New York, you know, experienced.
Yeah. It's really cool. I love the story as told, and then the pictures by Jonathan that go with it. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to have that as a reference. Cause if you go looking through, you know, those old things like the Time Life, I'm trying to find my copy here, like Mysteries of the Unexplained, like you'll get this mm-hmm. huge blurb and a little tiny grainy picture right. of something. And then you're
right.
You have to imagine it. So I really like that about this book.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, we wouldn't have used anyone else. Like Jonathan Dodd did. So just Jonathan Dodd has, first of all, wicked talented dude, and can yeah. work. He's got different styles that he is just fantastic with. And he worked really well with John Goodwill, which is the man that saw these white monsters. Mm-hmm. And you know, John Goodwill was just so I don't know. I didn't think he, you know, like how can you actually, I don't know. It was really cool seeing him be like, that was it, you know.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When we were all talking about the art and sending the art back and forth, just seeing him like it.
Well, it adds to the authenticity.
It was powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have the story and then you have, it's like a police sketch. You give somebody a description right. of what you saw. And then there's that moment where they realize this is the person. So
yeah,
it's the same thing with his art. And it's so, mm-hmm. so cool to know that that's what he saw and his family mm-hmm. saw.
And
that's great.
And Dodd was just so receptive and had no issue changing any small piece of the art that John was like, actually it was like this, could you change that? And it was just it was great. We had a great team working on it, and yeah, we're wicked proud of it.
You should be.
Yeah.
Yay.
But it was really cool, because there was a moment, and you know, it kind of choked me up a little bit, where, you know, John was just saying that he thought that he was going to take this story to his grave, and that no one was going to like know these experiences that happened to him. And it's kind of cool. Yeah, it was just
that's
cool.
Very cool.
It yeah. is cool. And that's, you know, for someone who's skeptical, like I am, mm-hmm. the thing that always turns me from disbelief is a person who is, I guess, convicted to what they're saying. Like mm-hmm. there's conviction there. They believe what they saw, and they're not trying to convince you. They're just right. telling you the experience. Right. And that's what tends to sway me more than other things.
Right. Yeah. Right. But yeah.
So you grew up with that legend.
Mm-hmm.
How, sure. what else, like, got you into the weird paranormal cryptid stuff?
So my mom was into Bigfoot, so Bigfoot was always like a household name.
You got a hell of a mother, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and she loves Bigfoot, anything Bigfoot she's into. But as a kid, I would go over to, so ultimately my mom got me into weird mm-hmm. stuff, but I would go over to my grandma's, because we didn't have a printer, and I would go over there and and print up like cases and stories of cryptids,
yeah,
like in elementary, and then I would hand them out to classmates to try and make friends.
Did it work?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? No. It was, I met a couple of people and they're like, yeah, we'll be friends with you. That's kind of cool. Like, so I would print up like, yeah, cases of like Mothman and the Chupacabra, Bigfoot, and just like Loch Ness, and I would just hand them out to random people. And
you've continued this with,
yeah, and it, I still do that. I'm still,
yeah, but except this, I paid money for it this time.
Yeah, yeah, right. So we're basically still doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
But that's I've been into it since I was a little one. Yeah,
that's like me and Rick.
Yeah, you're in good company here. We're all, I think everybody, for the most part, I'm going to speak in generalities, but everybody in this community was introduced to it in a very formative age. Like you grow up watching Unsolved Mysteries, or you like the X-Files, or your favorite movie is Ghostbusters, like those kinds of things. Like you get into it when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And it lasts through your whole life. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, now I do podcasting with it, and that's been a blast. Like podcasting, I don't know. And it was cool to see so many podcasts pop up, even just in the last like few years, because that's like, that really I think has helped people connect and like explore subjects.
Yeah.
And I think that's wicked cool. The more folks talking about this, excuse me, the more folks talking about this, I think the better. 'Cause these, whether you believe these stories or not, the stories are culturally important, I think.
Yeah.
I absolutely think storytelling has always been a very central part of society, and some of these legends, stories, experiences, whatever, you know, they like form whole communities and towns, you know.
Yeah, like, one like story, one sighting, and
right
there you go.
Point Pleasant, Mothman, you know, it's the whole town just embraces it. And
that's like going into Roswell, you see all these things that are UFO themed. Like it's been 15 plus years since I was there, but even then there's like a UFO donut shop, and there's a McDonald's that's got a UFO. Like they embrace it, and it's for commercial reasons.
Right.
But it also allows those who are in the community and at least aware of it to acknowledge that this could have been something that happened.
Yeah. And it's a point of pride.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's being a part of something bigger.
Yes. Well, you talk about community, and there's the community at large, and then there's the connections that we make like this here. We wouldn't, you and I would not be talking if we hadn't gotten into Bigfoot or a ground sloth, you know, when you're a kid. Like me, I grew up with Harry and the Hendersons. Like that was one of those things that got you into it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where my love came from. And that, if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be here. And
right.
You'd
be loveless.
I'd be in a van down by the river. To reference Matt Foley.
That's another, that's Chris Farley. You're a fan, huh? I love Chris Farley.
Well, if you grow up a chubby kid, you got to look toward Farley and John Candy and all those.
Love so. John Candy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, may they all rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Those angels that walked upon Earth.
Yeah, they were too good.
They were. We didn't deserve them.
We didn't.
Especially John Candy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. John.
What was your favorite John Candy movie?
Uncle
for
Buck.
Both of you. Yes.
Yeah.
Rick.
Uncle Buck.
Oh shit. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Damn. Yeah, that's a close. That might be. Yeah. That's a
Uncle Buck's
one.
Great. You could even say Stripes. Stripes is great.
Stripes, yeah.
Although Candy's not a lead in that. Go to his last role, which was Wagons East. Mm-hmm. I think that was that wasn't that great, but I still liked it when I was 11.
Yeah.
Or Home Alone, right?
Home Alone.
True. Yeah.
Yep.
See, I think it's Uncle Buck, and then close is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That the whole movie is just amazing. And, you know, that scene where he's talking about, you know, how his, you know, the people he works with likes him. And like, it's just like, fuck, man, you're awesome. You're like the sweetest and funniest dude in the world. And yeah. But how did you two get into, I'm going to flip the table. How did you guys get into it all?
So I'm from Texas, and my mom in 1976 saw a pterosaur.
Whoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with that story. I always thought she was crazy. Cause I'm like, really, you know, they died off millions of years ago.
Right.
And then she never changed her story. And that's just what I grew up with. And we would watch Unsolved Mysteries and In Search Of, and I check out every library book about the Bermuda Triangle or whatever I could find. So that's how I always, you know, that's how I got into it.
Groovy. I dig that. Oh my gosh. I love prehistoric, like, flora and fauna stuff where it's just kind of like, I don't know, like the Chestnut Ridge that runs that's in like Pennsylvania and even on the tip of like Morgantown, I think, has like pterosaur sightings and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's pretty, I dig on that. Mokele Mbembe in the Congo. And
Yep. Did you ever see that movie Baby in the mid 80s?
Yeah, of course I did. It was that awesome.
I don't think I had it, but I think I had a recorded copy off a TV on a VHS with commercials and everything. But I watched Baby a whole bunch. Ghostbusters was very influential for me.
Wasn't it like Baby the Lost?
What was that?
That was so cool. And there's very few people that I know that have seen that movie.
Well, it just sticks out in my mind
because it takes place in the Congo, right?
Yeah. It's Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend.
Came out
in 1985, and it has a 12% positive on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I hate critics, so you know they don't. They obviously don't have good taste.
That's where I think I'll probably agree with you on that one. Since I'm looking at it through a 33 year old lens, I haven't seen it since the mid 80s. So,
okay, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's a cool origin story. I like it.
Yeah, yours is better. I don't have anything fancy.
You don't have anything. You got to have a thing. One thing.
I've experienced nothing.
I haven't experienced anything either. Yeah.
I've experienced nothing that cannot be explained.
Yeah.
Away. And my family growing up, obviously they always told ghost stories. My mom experienced stuff, my dad experienced stuff, my grandmother, but never me. Like if I experienced anything, I feel like I made it up in my mind. Like I conjured it. Like I was, you know, laying in bed, staring at a doorway that's black and you think you can see a figure. And then you imagine red eyes. Like it's to me, it was all in my head. And that's not to say I'm not discrediting believers. I am crazy. I am on what my wife calls antipsychotics. So there's that.
Is that what your wife calls them?
Well, okay. So she went to pick up my prescription and she couldn't remember what it was called. And she told the pharmacist they're antipsychotics. You know, I was like, oh, I'll take it. That's fine. Yeah. But no, like I haven't experienced anything. I'm moving away from, and I have moved away from being a debunker. To being more open to these things and taking personal experiences that I hear from people into account. That's the most convincing thing for me. It's not a story that I hear from across the country. It's someone I know telling me something in the moment. So I believe that. I believe that they believe at the very least.
Good. Because I think there's a difference between being a skeptic and healthy skepticism.
Right.
Yep.
I think self-proclaimed skeptics will just automatically deny anything if it doesn't make sense to them or what they know about the natural world.
Yeah.
Well, they're typically cynics, and you get people like I'm not dissing Michael Shermer because I have all his books sitting next to me, but he, and I forget the exact quote, but talking about 98% of things can be explained. And then someone said, what about those 2%? And he says, well, we take that and we put it on a shelf. And that's so dismissive of the 2% of experiences. And I think that really is the stuff that we should be looking at and a little more open to.
And maybe, honestly, maybe these things, again, because these things are so anomalous that most times people will have one, maybe two random experiences. And then never again. And so there's no way that, unless you have like a body, there's no way to apply any type of scientific method, because you have to, you know, repeat and get the same outcome, or do something and find the same thing, whatever. It's just maybe science, maybe our understanding of science isn't supposed to get involved at all. And maybe people should try to like stop. Because people just stop trying to figure it out, because you won't. And maybe you're not supposed to. I truly think that human intelligence has a top off point.
Oh yeah. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
We've been on a decline. It's Idiocracy. So
Matt, yeah.
Matt, tell us about your experiences then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's jump into that.
Cool. Yeah. So I
can tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah. All right. So I'll start with my mystery light experience. So this was back when I was younger. My friend and I would take night hikes, and we'd kind of just point in a direction and then just walk until we got tired, and then set up camp, because we grew up very, very rural. And we were out in just the sticks. So we would just do that, and we came across this field, and it was like this old field with an old draft horse fence. And we went under it, and not too far past that, we saw a blue light in the distance in the woods. And you're always told not to go towards fires or lights in the woods, because there are people who,
thinking of like Carol Ann.
That's exactly right.
People like Carol Ann.
People who live off the grid where I'm from that don't like to be disturbed. I've been shot at by a backwoods person that literally they lived off the grid in the woods in a small thing, and that that's a thing around here. So I thought it was someone with a flashlight, but we were in the middle of nowhere, right? And so we have this light that kind of is like moving like this, and it's kind of up and down, and it looks like maybe someone is running. So we're like, oh shit. And we just completely froze. Him and I both froze. I don't know how long we were frozen for. I do remember feeling like butter, like I was just kind of like gloppy and kind of melty.
That's Rick every day.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
And finally could move, hit my friend. The light, it was just a bright bluish white light. And it was big. We ran, adrenaline was pumping, and I ran into the horse fence, and the barbs pierced my leg, and my prick. And so didn't feel it at the time, ripped it out. And then we had machetes because we were going through thicket, and I started hacking at the barbed wire because I was in panic mode. Because a barb just went into my
right.
So I was in panic mode. I just saw something weird. My friend was smart and remembered that there was a draft horse fence there and slid underneath it. And I smacked the middle wire, and it like went down and hooked him in the eyelid. And ripped his eyelid a bit.
Oh my god.
I could have taken out his eye. Like, that was just so dumb. And then we
wait, how old were you again?
Gosh, we were like,
it was 3 weeks ago.
It was about 3 weeks ago. It was like a little bit after high school.
Okay. And Laura, if you're just out of high school and you're a man, you're still a kid.
Oh my god. Oh yeah. You're a kid.
Until you're 35.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
No, you're a kid. You're a kid until you're like 30. That's maybe 28, maybe. Yeah.
No.
I'm deceivingly young looking.
You look great.
How old are you?
33.
You are young.
I would have guessed early 30s,
guys, I'm turning 34 soon. So, you know, it's like whatever.
I'm the grandma of this podcast right
you
now.
You are?
On the screen.
On the screen.
Yeah. Grandma, there are literal
I'm 40.
Grandmothers. Yeah.
Get out.
Rick's 39.
I'll be 40 in a few months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. Sorry. Keep going.
We're old. We're old and you're younger.
Yeah.
We know more than you.
You get that youthful vitality.
Now, give me a few years and I will just look miserable and grumpy.
That's right.
You look like this. I look like you once. I had hair.
I think so yeah, we ran I don't know how long we ran, and then we hit someone's field, and everyone has guns there where I lived, and so they see figures at night in their field, they might shoot at you. So we waited till sunrise, walked up to the door, asked where we were, and we were in the next town over, in Panama, and so that was that, and that kind of got me into like, because it just reminded me of shortly after that I got into like faith stuff, because I was just doing research on anything that could have been, and I've read a lot about Will-O-Wisp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's the closest thing. It just felt warm and inviting, like I said, and I just kind of buttery. Felt like butter. Yeah.
That's
and did you guys so go cool. to the emergency room? You guys are all good and healthy.
Oh yeah. No. We didn't go. I mean, this kid, he got hit right in front of me, and we didn't go to the emergency room. He was so like afraid that his parents would get upset with him. We were riding our bikes, and someone shot out of their driveway and hit him, and he was laying on the ground, and my brain was just like, oh shit, he's dead. My friend is dead. And he got back up, and it was my bike, and it was all dinged up, and the guy's like, hey, are you okay? Sorry, I'm going to a wedding, I'm in a rush. And and the guy was like, do you want I help you, do you want to go to the hospital, talk to your parents, can I pay for your
bike? This is a blank check situation.
Yeah. And he was, and my friend was like, no, don't get my parents involved, it's fine, let's just go. And I was just like, motherfucker, what?
Could have got a new bike.
It could have been a blank check situation.
Yeah. I was thinking like Paul Giamatti was going to pop out and
yeah, take
it, and Frankie Muniz.
So that was that. And I had one on the shoot of a Small Town Monsters film, which I'm sure everyone has seen a Small Town Monsters movie, if not mm-hmm. all of them, because they're releasing consistently great stuff.
Yep.
I'm very proud of all of those people.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so we were on the shoot of On the Trail of UFOs, and we were up at Dolly Sod's, and I saw this slow moving light in the sky.
What color was it?
It was like blue. It was a blue, and it was just Shannon LeGros and I by ourselves in one area, and the camera people were over there. They were shooting some B-roll or something. And I was like, hey, check that out. She's like, oh shit, I see it. You know what I mean? Like, oh wow. And then we called the people over and they got a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. But it was just super cool. I did the interview, but in actuality, it was much longer and they had to cut it because I was laughing because it was like, I just saw a UFO.
Right.
And like, I was really excited. And I think, you know, they wanted me to be a little bit
professional.
Yeah. I do. I wanted, right. Right. And I was laughing and like, I was
excited, like happy
and excited and laughing. And so,
Seth like giving you the stern, like grumpy look, like, hey, stop laughing.
No, it was, I think they just took the best parts of what I had to say about it. Mm. And then I had, so like, I never believed in, like, I was about cryptids and legends, but I never believed in ghosts, just because of my views on the afterlife. But like, I was in Sutton, West Virginia at the Elk River Hotel, and I went in with a couple of paranormal investigators, a couple of groups, and I was with our friend Les O'Dell. Mm-hmm. And just the sweetest guy. He's like, when I think of West Virginia and its hospitality and the South, even just the South in general and its hospitality, I think of Les O'Dell, because he would give you, he's the kind of guy that would just give you the shirt off of his back if you asked. Mm-hmm.
Complete opposite of Rick.
Absolutely.
You would give me your shirt. Don't be like that.
I would take it off slowly.
Yeah.
Button it.
Yeah.
One button at a time while making unblinking eye contact. That's how I would give you my shirt.
And then I would just be like, okay, well, if this is going to take a half an hour, I'm going to split.
Oh.
So, bummer.
Poor Rick.
So we went there, we were on this investigation, and we were doing some EVP work, some spirit box work. And I was recording the whole time. I turned it off, and then we just kind of walked and around and listened. We got to this door, and there's a feeling about this door. It wasn't like a paranormal feeling. It was just like bad shit.
Okay.
It was just like not a good feeling.
Hmm.
I was just fixated on this door. Les started doing spirit box work, and I immediately froze because I saw this disembodied foot. It wasn't attached to anything. It wasn't like foggy. Was it a man's foot? Foggy or clear? Oh, I can't tell. It was just a foot. And it just kind of yeah, it wasn't attached to anything. It was just kind of, and that's strange. Froze and like my eyes started watering. I stepped back and I just remember saying less. And one of the paranormal investigators had this camera and told me to freeze. And I went over after freezing, and there was a figure standing right next to me that was probably 2 feet taller than myself.
Mm.
And how tall are you?
6'1".
Oh, wow. You lanky boy.
Yep, absolutely. So after that, I was pretty like, I wasn't really my like
you're shaking
myself
up,
yeah, like. I wasn't myself for a little bit because it's difficult accepting that, and I don't even think that necessarily it's like dead spirits of dead people. I don't think there's an afterlife. I think that, you know, spirits are something else. But yeah, I you're not the same. You just can't, you just can't be the same. Yeah. You can't be the same because,
forces you to change your worldview.
Yeah. The natural world just became unnatural, and it kind of flips you on your head. And you don't necessarily know what to do or what to make of it. I just remember the whole ride home from West Virginia, I was quiet. I didn't make like a peep.
Well, that would shake me too, because I'm an atheist. I'm not against religion, and I'm not closed off to it. I call myself like a hopeful atheist, but if I saw what you saw, that would change something inside me.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
it
did. It did. And, you know, I didn't find God or anything, but, it opened me up to the possibility that there's just things that we don't know. And it's okay that we don't know. The idea that it's okay that we don't know and we won't know. I think is what I took away from that. It was weird. That was weird.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I have to ask you, what, since we're on the subject, what do you think ghosts are? Do you think they're time slips, or are they interdimensional?
I love the whole, like multiverse thing, right? Where, because there's already so there's like window areas, right? You know, most paranormal investigators, I think like John Keel coined the term, but it was like window areas where the wall between realities, different planes of existence, are thinnest, right? So maybe these things are things that have crossed over into our plane of existence, or maybe there's some people think they're shadows from like a mirror universe, or I think there's something more sci-fi and nerdy about it instead of dead people's souls. I don't know. And I think
it's a good answer.
Yeah. I just don't know, but I think it's, they're coming from somewhere, and I don't think, yeah, I don't know. but they're coming from somewhere. And I think it's, I think it's
a great answer.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's solid.
It's the best answer.
I mean, none of us know.
No one knows.
We don't know.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. No Rick? One. And I, but yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say if Rick wanted to do his fun game.
I have this thing, and I like to either torture or delight people with it, depending on their take on it. I know. I want to rapid fire yes, no, true, false on cryptids and your opinion.
Gotcha.
So, and there are wrong answers.
There are wrong answers to everything. if you want to expound upon something, feel free. But if you just want to say, nope, it's not real, that's fine too.
Next.
We'll go with the OG, not Bigfoot, but Loch Ness Monster.
Was real.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I need clarification.
Oh, it died a long time ago. If it was... Even if there was a
is it a ghost of a plesiosaur?
No, because it could be interdimensional, but I don't think that animals have souls. But if someone could disprove me, that would be fantastic because that sounds great.
Well, you know, there was a documentary released in the late 80s called All Dogs Go to Heaven.
And that was a great doc. Animals. That was a great doc. I saw that.
Animals have souls. That's like, I don't know.
Yeah. So I think it was alive and is dead.
Okay. That's a first for that question. Let's go with the second most famous Bigfoot. What are your thoughts on Bigfoot?
Real. There's nothing unrealistic about a monkey living in North America, or just it's interesting that all these societies around the world have Bigfoot-like stories and stories at the time where they did not have interaction with one another. It's just interesting, and is that based in a reality? So yes, I believe Bigfoot, big feet.
I like big feet.
Big feet. Yes.
I like big feet.
Big feet is real.
Yeah. Cool. I'm in the North American wood ape kind of camp on that. I want to believe.
But. Yeah.
See, I'm like it could either be like a woo thing or I'm a woo person, brother.
Oh man.
No, but I also think it could be like a flesh and blood thing.
Okay.
Like who knows? Like, I mean,
again, I don't know.
Again,
All right. Let's go to Laura's neck of the woods. Thunderbirds.
I think they could be real. I won't talk on it because I'm a white person, but like,
okay, there we go.
You know,
that's good.
I think it's probably real. There's plenty of, again, something that's not out of the, I don't think it's like a giant bird. Isn't that right? Isn't that
they have
like,
existed? Yeah.
Yeah. They've existed and it's not like a outlandish idea. Mm-hmm. So
no, not at all.
Yep. I think they're real.
That's kind of, I would like to land on that as well. Let's go with Chupacabra, both the Puerto Rican and the Texan.
Okay. So
that's a nice rolling of ours, Rick.
Puerto Rican.
I can't do that. I think that the Puerto Rican Chupacabra is an alien and is real. I think that the Texan one is real, but it's not a chupacabra. I think that's a totally different critter.
It's not a mangy coyote.
My buddy Aaron Dees.
Yep.
Did a
name dropping.
His whole thing. His whole thing is that they are different, and he is very. What did they call it? Did you guys take that poll where it was like name the new Chupacabra? I think people voted for the Texas Terror Dog.
I forget what I voted for because there were a few options, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it ended up the Texas Terror Dog. So that works. I think Texas is just like a different critter, but yes, they're both real.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. Let's go up closer to your neck of the woods. Champ in Lake Champlain.
Real as shit.
I kind of land on that too.
Yeah.
Like there's echolocation in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in that lake supposed to do echolocation.
Yep.
Come on now. Yeah. Real. So cool. Okay. Jump to the other side of the continent. Let's go with Tahoe Tessie along the same lines.
Fake.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
I'm on the fake camp. Hey, if anyone has seen it, that's cool though. And like, but you know, I need to.
You guys are wrong, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's okay to be wrong.
No, that's good.
You got to go after what his podcast is.
I was about to attack
okay.
it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The obviously fake and not real Mothman.
Oh, man, real.
It's
the hardest real I've.
Yeah.
This table is glass. I don't want to slam my hand, but just imagine me slamming my hand and like the effect it would have.
Yes.
We can maybe throw in a sound effect.
Yeah, like glass. Like when Stone Cold would walk into the arena, it's just like smashing glass. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, we'll throw that in there. Yeah, sticking in West Virginia, let's go with Flatwoods.
Yep, real.
Real.
Flatwoods Monster. Andrew is our homie. The Flatwoods Monster is honestly, I think probably our favorite of the WV cryptids. And that's a moth. That's not a Moth Boys exclusive, but it's my exclusive. That I do think. I think that's probably my favorite WV cryptid, alien, whatever you want to. Mm-hmm.
I lean toward that too. I've got work from a couple people on my wall of Flatwoods. Got some.
I'm gonna guess. Wait, can I guess?
Yeah,
what you have?
Go for it.
Jamie Snell.
That oh, is... Jamie says hi. I'm supposed to tell you he says hi.
Aww, he's told a me sweetie. That today.
I don't have Jamie's Flatwood. I have his Hodak.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, you have Easton's.
Yeah.
Do you have Liz?
No, I don't.
What about Kristen, aka Bally Raven?
I don't have Bally Ravens, no. I have, I think this is, let me pull it off. Everybody's seen Easton's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what about Jonathan Dodds?
I got this bad boy.
Yeah. Who is
I'm blanking on the artist's name. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, I saw them post in a Facebook group.
Langley?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it was one of the more recent ones I got. I bought a bunch of prints and they were just sitting in my office for literal years. And I've slowly been going through and putting everything
in
frames.
Yeah, I need to frame lots of stuff.
I got I got so many things to frame along with my Moth Boy posters. Let's see. So what's your take on Grafton?
Real. So you want to hear a cool theory? And this is the first time I'm ever talking about my theory. Uh-oh. On the Grafton
Ooh,
monster.
Another exclusive. Yeah.
So this is so I'm first and foremost a huge sci-fi nerd. So of course I'd be at the base level interest of astrobiology. So I think that the Grafton Monster story is wicked cool, right? Mm-hmm. So it's seen, it's bulky, mass, grayish, white, a little bit kind of wet looking stuff, but just a mass, really. So I think that, I was thinking about life elsewhere, right? And the building blocks of life, right? You know, everything that we know is currently carbon, right? Because it forms four-way bonds easily. And it's just prime for building life. Now, there are other elements in the universe that are similar to carbon. So the next most abundant element in the universe is silicon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Grafton Monster is silicon-based life, and that the weird. Okay, so the thing about like the silicon, when it gets, when air hits it, right, it turns into, it starts solidifying into like rock mineral. What I think is that the Grafton Monster was silicon based and it crash landed here on Earth. And so it started to solidify into this hulking rock. And why it was wet, it was because it went underwater to try to slowly, to try and stop that because of the lack of oxygen underwater. So that's why its skin was all wet looking. So
I love this theory.
I do too. It's the best one I've heard for Grafton.
Yeah.
And not a, it's something. And I'm thinking, I'm starting to write like stuff like that, like little science papers on cryptids.
Are you going to hand them out to people?
I should.
You should.
I get you.
make some new friends.
Make some new friends.
There we go.
As someone who is in their 30s, I feel like that's appropriate. I think people would be real receptive to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I think about the Grafton Monster. And I've never shared that.
I love anyone. That.
Yeah.
No, it's a pretty solid idea.
It is.
Yeah. Like it's not crazy at all. No. I mean, we're already kind of crazy talking about aliens and monsters and ghosts. So there's a suspension of disbelief, but yours is totally reasonable. Yeah, it's reasonable.
It's reasonable.
All right, but, Rick, are you done? Can I ask my rapid fire question?
Yeah, I'm good. I think that was a good one to go out on for me. So thank you. Let's do those rapid fire, the questions. And these also have incorrect answers.
Okay.
And I will be less forgiving on these.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matt.
Shoot.
Do you consider a hot dog a sandwich?
What the fuck?
That was the correct answer.
Yes.
Why?
It's an open face sandwich.
Rick?
I'll allow it.
All right. You're good in Rick's book now.
Well, there was another conversation we had where something is only a hot dog if it has an actual hot dog in it. So you could take anything, you could take a burrito and slowly slide the hot dog into it. And at some point it becomes a hot dog.
Right.
So I think it's easier just
to lump. Real fucked up. Just thinking about a hot dog in a taco shell. It's real messed up.
Hey, if you were raised slightly above the poverty line, you would have eaten microwaved hot dogs and tortillas. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Dude. I did fried bologna sandwiches. I was right there. Yeah.
How much potted meat have you eaten?
Too much.
There we go.
An upsetting amount.
Yeah. any amount is upsetting because you have to admit that you ate potted meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. Okay. Laura, continue.
All right. What is your favorite sci-fi movie?
Damn, that's hard. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that one.
No, I should though. I think my favorite sci-fi is Alien or Dune.
Rick will allow that. I will allow that. The original David Lynch Dune or the
original Lynch. Even though some people take issue with that. I think David Lynch's interpretation is just fucking great because I love the Dune books. I think you only really need to read Dune, Children of Dune, and like Emperor of Dune, and then the rest of them are trash.
That's what I've heard too. I've only read the first one. I have those that you're talking about on a shelf, I think, behind me somewhere.
So those are great.
Okay.
But then there's like Blade Runner and like, damn. Annihilation. I loved Annihilation.
Annihilation's phenomenal.
I want to read that series.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Area X trilogy. It's Vandermeer. Jeff Vandermeer. I've got it in here. Yeah, it's right over there. Area X, Jeff Vandermeer. He's solid. That's a great book. It's nothing like the movie, but it's a great book. It's very Lovecraftian.
Mm, cool.
Yeah.
I love Lovecraftian horror, but Lovecraft was a fuckwad.
Yes, he was. But I think we're a century removed from him, so I can't feel bad for having my complete annotated.
Oh, I've got Lovecraft too. I mean, yeah. I'm not. Yeah.
He was a racist piece of garbage.
Xenophobe prick.
Yeah.
Ding dong. He was a ding dong. You know what I mean? Just a straight up ding dong.
It's very delicate.
Okay.
Who was your first celebrity crush?
Sigourney Weaver.
Ooh. You're the only other person to ever say that.
You are like becoming Rick's best friend.
You are slowly here. Like, seriously. So I was given in I was born in 83 and I was given VHS when they were $80 each before Blockbuster existed and rentals existed. Mm-hmm. I had a VHS copy of Fraggle Rock, the animated Hobbit and Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And those were things that I wore out. So Sigourney Weaver was, and still is, a huge crush of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a signed picture of her and Rick Moranis up on my wall. We just watched Galaxy Quest last week. So
I think the internet has also formed this opinion, but Pedro Pascal has become definitely a celebrity crush. Also, I just want to hang with him, man. I just want to chill. Well,
you just want the full Nick Cage, Pedro Pascal experience.
I would kill for that.
Way to mess up.
Yeah, kill for that. I would literally kill. I would kill for that.
No, yeah, I became a fan of his when he was on Game of Thrones before it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was on Narcos, and now he's just, boom, he's everywhere. Yeah. And I'm here for it. I'll take it. I love Mandalorian and Last of Us and everything he does. So, yeah, I got a crush on him, too. So.
Aw. What's your most unpopular food opinion?
Oh, pretzels are for sociopaths.
I would just tell my wife she loves pretzels and I hate them.
Why?
Okay. Soft pretzels. Soft pretzels are different. Soft pretzels are very different.
They are
hard. It's just like salted fucking cardboard. Like, what's wrong with you? Do you not like flavor? Is it just like, do you not like being happy? Are you an unhappy human? And that's just unpopular. Everyone finds that, you know, when I start shouting at a party that someone put out pretzels and they knew I was coming over and they knew that I hated pretzels. I make sure there's no pretzels in the house ever.
Are you the guy that gets visibly angry?
Yes.
When you reach into a bag of Chex Mix and you don't get the rye chip or the Chex, you get the pretzel.
The pretzel, yeah. Mm.
You know what? Absolutely, I do, and I love Chex Mix, but I get the pretzel. What's wrong with Chex Mix? You know what? When you get a bag of that Chex Mix, the pretzels are so soft. It's like they're soggy, like they put them in there soggy and they dried in a bag. Listen, I could go on for hours about pretzels.
All right, so Rick.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we have pretzels on the table.
God.
So Matt gets super mad at you. I got documents. And just slams you down.
Yeah. He's got lawyers. Come on now.
Yep. You know how many lawyers I got? If you put pretzels out, oh my God, I'd sue y'all.
He actually has on the books a pretzel allergy. So any pretzels within a 50-foot radius is technically assault.
Yeah,
we're gonna go to jail. We're gonna have to have a bag of pretzels and pelt you across across
from where we are. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love that too. I'll love it too, and I won't forget it either. You know what I mean?
Oh shit! Now I gotta do it.
I'll bring the pretzels.
Thank you.
All right, what world record do you think you have a shot at beating?
Being the fucking top dog dude. Top dog dude, I think, is my world record. I think
top dog card.
Top dog dude.
Yeah,
it's with an apostrophe on the end.
Fucking top dog dude, you know what I mean? I don't know,
can you guys make that a shirt? Because I
fucking top dog dude.
Your face and that like a band, like a wavy banner beneath it says fucking top dog dude.
Yeah. Jokerman like, font sure. Or papyrus.
I was thinking Comic Sans, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Good.
All right, last question. Toilet paper over or under?
What does that mean?
When you're pulling, does it come from under or does it come from over?
Over.
That was the correct answer. That's the only thing that really had a correct answer.
Yeah, over.
Yeah.
Wow. That
Matt,
was
you
great.
Passed. You passed with flying colors.
You did. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You can continue podcasting. Hell yeah. I'll let the others know.
I won't get canceled.
Nope.
I'm not going to get. Okay.
Not this week.
All right. So where can people find you? Tell us all about where we can get the book and Cryptid Bash. Tell us all about that stuff.
Yes.
So you can find Moth Boys. You can find Moth Boys at Instagram, Facebook. I think Instagram is Moth Boys Podcast. And then I think we have a Twitter that Jake runs, but I think he just talks about Shaq or something. I don't know. I think he does whatever he wants. He has free reigns over Twitter.
Love it.
I think he talks about Mark McGrath a whole lot.
Well, tell him to at the lead singer from Eve 6. Apparently Six. He's really a heavy Twitter user and is funny.
Really?
So if you Eve add Six. Him, he'll probably do it. Yeah.
Eve 6 is great. So you can find us on social medias, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast. Yeah, anywhere where you listen to podcasts or whatever. And then we have a brand new book out now, The White Monsters of Sherman, New York. You can pick it up on Amazon and select bookstores around Chautauqua County. And you can pick it up in at the Lantern in Indiana, which is a Brett Manning store.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool.
Tell us about Cryptid Bash.
Oh, yeah. Cryptid Bash. So we have an annual Moth Boys throw, an annual event.
Where did it go, Rick?
It's in Hyco, West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
At Free Folk Brewery at their new location. And there will be beer and food trucks and music all day. And there will be vendors and a plethora of other stuff. You can paint your own Bigfoot footprint. There's a bunch of stuff you can do. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And when is that?
That is August 19th.
I'm going to put that on my calendar.
Yep. And check us out at our next event in June. Monster Which Fest. Is, Small Town right. Small Town Monsters presents Monster Fest.
Starring Moth
Starring.
Boys.
Starring Moth Boys.
The fucking top
fucking
top dog.
Top dog.
Just fucking top dog. You know what I mean?
Rick, where can people find us?
Oh man. Facebook, Instagram. I mean, honestly, if you just search Spooks Creeps Assorted Devilry, you'll find it. But Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Parler, Truth Social,
InstaFeet,
only InstaFeet, Only Fans, Only Feet, Christian Mingle, OnlyFarmers.com,
Farmers, Goth Singles.
Yeah. We are those hot singles in your area. That's what we are. You can follow me at Rick is a Dork on Instagram. You can see all my cat pictures. I don't know. What else we got? We got a Redbubble, don't we?
We got Redbubble. We got a Big Cartel.
We sell stuff. We sell stuff with amazing art from amazingly talented people. We don't sell anything, but it's there. If someone
if you want to explore that, you can.
I think most of our sales are just us. Yeah. We bought our own shirt. That's fine. But yeah, I think you can find us. Just DM Laura and she'll tell you where everything is.
I'll slide in there.
slide into Laura's DMs.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tanya's job, okay? Tanya, people got to slide into Tanya's DMs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
And we'll be at the Hodag Festival. And that is May 20th in Rylander. And then we're going to be in Canton, Ohio at Monster Fest.
You lost it. You lost it for a second. You almost had it.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. This is like, this has been a blast. Y'all are the best.
Oh, thanks.
You're the best.
You're the best. We were told you were the second best moth boy, but you know what? Number one.
Top dog.
Fucking top dog.
All right.
Yeah. So thanks for coming.
Later, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Subscribe and review our pod wherever you listen. We have merch on Redbubble and Big Cartel. See you later, creeps.